The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, world. This is Trish Adora, your Pan-African World Diaspora Champion, and you are listening to John Orlando on the PVDcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVDcast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 252. I'd like to thank you for checking out this episode, and I hope all is well with you. As for me, I'm kind of a little bit down in the dumps. I'm kind of a little bit bummed out because I'm recording this introduction on Wednesday, September 23rd. The day in which the news broke earlier on this morning that the wrestling world has lost yet again another legend. Joe Laurinaitis, a.k.a. Road Warrior Animal, passed away late last night, I believe. And I don't know, just it sucks when your heroes pass on. I mean, I know we're all going to eventually shuffle off this mortal coil, but at 60 years old, it seems like he still had plenty of life left in him. And it just sucks that the greatest tag team is no longer with us. I mean, Hawk passed away in 2003 and now Animal, and we're left with Precious Paul Ellering. But I don't know, it really kind of made me kind of feel a little bit blue, if you will. I think back to 2018 when the Wrestle Legends Convention came to town and I got an opportunity to interview Road Warrior Animal. I joked, but I really turned into 8-year-old John. Like that experience was just so awesome, and it will always be my favorite episode, the Wrestle Legends episode, which is episode number 165. I just replayed it in March as episode 228. The opportunity to talk to Road Warrior Animal, as well as many other superstars there, was just a highlight of my podcasting career and a highlight of my fandom. You know, I've made no bones about it on this podcast. I think the Road Warriors are the greatest tag team ever. I know that that's somewhat of a controversial statement, but that's how I feel. They're my favorites of all time. And just going to say, rest in power, Road Warrior Animal. And certainly, probably the Legion of Doom is probably causing some havoc upstairs, I would say. Well, it's never easy going from a somber subject like we just talked about to highlighting who is going to be on this episode of the PVDcast. But on episode 252, I'm going to be joined by Mr. Jeff Patrick, the owner of World's Greatest Comics. And Jeff is making a return. He was on at the end of April, and we discussed how the pandemic was impacting comic book retailers and the comic book industry in general. Jeff wanted to talk about the impact that the pandemic had on the comic book industry, as well as some shakeups that have occurred at DC Comics and some of the things that they have done that has impacted their bottom line. And, you know, look, I know it's going to sound like we're being very negative, Jeff and I, but, you know, we're fans of comics. We want comics to be around. We want comics to be good. We want comics to be handed down to the next generation. And, you know, our critique, our criticism comes from a place of love. And it was fun having Jeff come back on and talk about the ins and outs, the ups and downs, if you will, of the last few months in the comic book industry. So, and I appreciate, you know, the fact that World's Greatest Comics is a great sponsor. You know, I say it all the time that they are the one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs, but they truly are. The store is located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And you can check them out online at wgcomics.com. And they're even on Facebook. Just search for at WG Comics or World's Greatest Comics. Either one of those will get you right to their Facebook page. And so that's my kind of my mini plug. I know I didn't do it with all the fervor and vigor that I normally do, but I don't want to have a lot of overkill, if you will. With that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear Jeff Patrick and I sit down and talk all about the comic book industry and comics in general. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another installment of the PVD Cast. And joining me once again is Jeff Patrick, the owner of World's Greatest Comics. Jeff, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good, John. How about yourself?
I can't complain. I cannot complain. So the last time you were on, which was episode 232 back in late April, we chatted about COVID and the store. So how has business been since things have gotten a little bit better in terms of our coronavirus situation?
It's actually been going very well. It's a little bit of a slow start, but it's been going very well. And I think a lot of that is due to the fact that there aren't any conventions going on. And we've had a lot of people come in and, just say that fact, I can't go to a convention. So, I'm going to go ahead and come in here and shop. So it's been going pretty well in that regard. I think there's several small shows going on, but, none of the big conventions. I think that's one thing that's really helped us out. Plus, during the shutdown, we kind of switched gears, doing some online stuff, and we're on eBay. We're still selling on eBay. So, overall, it's been going pretty good. New comic sales have actually picked up. Things seem to be getting back to more of a normal slate in the number of releases going on. I think that was it was a gradual thing. It had to be a gradual thing. That's the way they planned it, just because when Ohio opened back up, we got our first shipment a couple of weeks later, and we started out with small shipments. The way that it was planned, because there were still places that were still in shutdown, and so the output from the publishers wasn't really there, and that was just the plan all along, just to build back up to more of a normal output. There's still a few titles that haven't hit yet, but I've actually just been going through the Diamond site, checking on the status of some of those. And so there's still some things that haven't come back out yet that are to come.
One thing you mentioned about the fact that there's no conventions, but last time we talked, it was right around the time, I think it was maybe just a few days after, you had a special guest stop by the store, Daryl Banks. Yep. Yeah, yes. How'd that go? Can you recap
that went, for us? That went tremendous. It was a very, very, very big event. I know Daryl was very happy. I think he was pleasantly surprised. We took all the social distancing, into account. We had a table set up with a barrier for him, a little opening underneath so people could pass the items. The items could be passed back and forth. Yeah, it was great. We had quite a turnout for it.
Well, can you give us a little brief history of the store?
Okay.
You're laughing because you're thinking brief history, right?
Well, the store first opened back in March of 2011. Little tiny space. I mean, we've always been located in the Glengarry Shopping Center there in Westerville. Just a tiny space. And with maybe one or two exceptions, I didn't really see comic shops dealing with older books as much as like it was even in other cities. I saw a lot of other cities where the back issue market was doing well, a lot of stores dealing in older books. I didn't really see that a whole lot around here, like I say, with maybe a couple of exceptions. So I thought, we really need that here. It's kind of a shame that Columbus being the capital city and the selection is so limited in terms of being able to shop for older comics. I refer to it as the best midlife crisis I ever had, because well, I'm 58 now, so I was around 49, 50 when I opened up the store, and I just thought, well, you know, we really need that here, and that's been the focus of the store is older comics. We do carry new comics and action figures and some statues, but the old comics, that's our focus. It's paid off very well for us. We've like I said, been around for 9.5 years, and we just a year ago moved into our current location, which is our third location, actually, there in the shopping center, our third storefront in the shopping center. We started out with 625 square feet in the first location, went to 1,200 square feet in the second location, and now we've got 2,800 square feet, and I hope we never have to move again. So I'm getting too old for this, you know, as Danny Glover would say in the Lethal Weapon movies. It's been a really great draw for us having all the older comics. We've gotten people from, you know, out of state, from up in Canada, coming down to shop with us over the years. So, yeah, we're going to keep on doing what we're doing and getting better at it.
There you go. One of the things that you and I had talked about one day when I stopped by the store was we talked a little bit about, you know, some of the things that we talked about on episode 232. There's been some fallout, some big-time consequences. Let's talk at maybe, and I don't even know how to order these. I don't know. I guess I'm going to go in chronological order. So in late March, early April, DC had made a decision. And they had made a decision to leave Diamond, which
Distributors. As a matter of fact, they made, it was the day after we last talked, after the last episode that I was with you on, that when they announced the two other distributors that they were going to go with to get product out to the stores who still wanted to sell even during the shutdown. And those distributors, Lunar and UCS, after a little digging front by some others, come to find out that they are actually fronts for Midtown Comics and DCBS, the two largest online retailers. And that really sent everybody into a tailspin that, okay, DC is expecting us to buy from our competitors, essentially. I made the decision, well, I'm going to stick with Diamond because the timeline they were talking about, you know, when Diamond was planning to resume shipping was about 2 weeks after first Lunar and DCBS shipments were to go out. And I said, I'm just going to stick with Diamond. And the first Diamond shipment came 2 weeks after we reopened here in Ohio, after the Ohio retail was allowed to reopen, non-essential retail. So, you know, we were going along. And then the announcement came from Diamond in late May that, or I'm sorry, not from Diamond, but from DC, that they were no longer going to be distributing through Diamond and they were going to go through Lunar and DCBS, or I'm sorry, Lunar and UCS, the two fronts for Midtown Comics and DCBS. That really sent a lot of people into a rage. A lot of retail. I mean, just about every retailer across the country, because now we're being forced to buy from a competitor. Now, in the last episode that I was on with you, I know I had talked about the possibility of alternate distribution, which I thought would be great for the market, because that's what we had back in the 90s. There was healthy competition amongst various distributors. Well, that's not where we're at. We're just very much akin to the Heroes World debacle back in the 1990s, that when Marvel Comics decided they were going to self-distribute, and they bought a small regional distributor to do worldwide distribution. And that's what broke the distribution system back in the 90s. Was that, that was the straw that broke the camel's back right there. Everybody ran exclusives, or went exclusives with Diamond, and then ultimately all these smaller distributors shut down. The other major distributor, Capital City Distribution, they shut down because they really didn't have much in the way of any product to distribute. Everybody went exclusive with Diamond. Ultimately, it was just down between Diamond and Heroes World. Heroes World couldn't handle what was required for worldwide distribution. They folded. Diamond was the only one left. And when we talked last, I thought, well, okay, this might be a good thing, you know, that another distributor's coming along. Well, not when it's a competitor.
Right, right.
Not when you have two competitors that we have to buy from.
Does that, and I don't know if I'm going to phrase this correctly, does that violate any type of like monopoly type of law? Or is that too
complicated?
Understand.
On the surface, it seems like conflict of interest, but I think
there you go. That's what I meant.
Yeah, conflict of interest. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think that all the legal powers that be within those companies have checked into this, but you know, that's really for smarter people than me. I mean, as the saying goes, it's above my pay grade to answer that question. Yeah. But on the surface, yes, it does seem like conflict of interest.
Yeah. Have you talked to anybody that used Lunar or USC for their deliveries, for their distribution? And if so, what was their experience dealing with those distributions?
Well, here's the thing. Those companies did not come into existence until DC said we're going to distribute product through them. They did not. Those two particular companies did not exist prior to that. They, you know, you had Midtown Comics and you had DCBS, but there was no Lunar Comics distribution. There was no UCS Comics distribution. It just seems like this was all created in cahoots with DC Comics to get their product out there. Mm-hmm. during a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, prior to April of this year, those companies didn't exist. Lunar and UCS did not exist.
So has anybody that you know of in the comic book retail scene here in Columbus used those two during the pandemic or no? Everybody stuck with Diamond.
During the pandemic, I'm not really aware. I think maybe one store that I know of did, but I've not really gotten to talk to them about their experience with it. When this all came about, DC Comics assigned the retailers one of those distributors to use based on what state you're in. And they said, Ohio, use UCS. Although I think there still is the freedom to choose between the two.
Okay.
Because Lunar is actually based out of Indiana, somewhere in Indiana. So that really would be closer. Mm-hmm. For Ohio, but I think just because of all the stores west of there, you know, they've got that load to carry. So that's why they told us to go with UCS based out of New York. And that's who we're getting our DC product from, is UCS.
Okay. I'm going to pitch a theory at you that I read a couple of days ago when I was just reading up on some news. So it's not my theory. It's just one that I read. There's a theory that Diamond would probably be game for buying DC backstock from retailers to kind of secondhand sell through their own distribution. Because as you know, once a book comes out, it's got a little bit of a shelf life, correct?
Yeah.
And then after that, it goes to the back issues. So
yeah.
this columnist was writing about the theory of possibly having Diamond somehow repurchase or get back the DC back stock and then offer it. Hey, yes, it's a couple of weeks past when we normally would deliver it, but here it is. What are your thoughts on that theory? Do you think that that is maybe something that's plausible, or if it's just complete malarkey, or what?
If Diamond were to do that, they would have to do it at a loss to the retailer. So I really don't know how viable a thing that would be. Diamond has to make money, just like the rest of us. So if I have some DC Comics back stock, $3.99 book, which even with DC product, they seem like they're going with the black label and all more prestige format things. It seems like it's starting to become few and far between now. I would probably lose if they were to do that and I were to sell product back to them, then I would lose a considerable amount on each one of those individual books.
So it's not going to be something that's feasible. But this is
I don't think it will be. Okay. Because not only would you have what Diamond would be willing to pay for these books, but you also have shipping costs involved in it. And then they have to resell the books. So yeah, I just don't really think it. For the retailer, it definitely wouldn't be financially feasible, and I don't know if Diamond would be up for that either. I think whoever came up with that theory, I think there were some things they didn't really consider.
Okay. Well, the hits just kept on coming for DC Comics because.
Oh yeah.
And Jeff, you could fill us in because I'm not too sure, and I couldn't find any connection here. But I want to say midsummer. Time Warner had massive cuts to a lot of their divisions, and DC Comics was hit pretty hard.
Actually, that was about 2 weeks ago.
Was it 2 weeks ago?
It was about 2 weeks ago, yeah. I think it was about 3 weeks when the Time Warner cuts were announced, and then it was the following Monday. That's when it all hit the fan at the DC offices.
Well, do you think, is there any connection between this bad distribution deal that they have going on and these layoffs? Are they just a coincidence that they're happening at the same time or relatively in the same time frame? What do you think?
Well, it seems that the distribution deal that went down may have played a role in this because, this is just through the rumor mill, but apparently they're distribution deal didn't help DC rebound like they thought it would be. I mean, that was the thing they said is, it's really going to help the direct market, but no one was really willing to say how. I think it's possible that could have played a role in everything that went down at DC. Yeah, I'm trying not to use any vulgarities here, but
go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, okay. Well, shit rolls downhill, and AT&T is at the top of the heap.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It just could be coincidence, but it seems like every bad thing that's happened with the comics industry in the last 2 years happened as soon as AT&T bought Time Warner. Or Warner Brothers Entertainment, whatever the company is called, we had the Walmart exclusive comics. There was several comics that were exclusive to Walmart with the intention of, well, this will help increase readership and get people into the comic shops. All it did was drive speculators into all the Walmarts and buying all this stuff up and selling it on eBay for a profit. It didn't really do anything to bring readers into the comic shops. Then, this past February, there's an annual an industry organization called Comics Pro, and it is an organization basically dedicated to creating a dialogue between the retailers and the publishers. Comics Pro happened back in February. I can't remember where it was held at this year. It's usually in a certain place all over the country, you know, in different parts of the country for a weekend once a year. While Comics Pro was happening, Dan DiDio was out at DC Comics.
Right, right.
And the way that the DC people, including Jim Lee, who was at Comics Pro, the way they found out about it was the same way we all found out about it. We found out about it through the press. I mean, it's just all of a sudden he was being escorted out the door at the DC offices. Dan DiDio, I mean, there were a lot of things I disagreed with that he had done, a lot of things that a lot of people disagreed with that he had done, but he was very friendly to the retailers. Okay. He was an advocate for the retailer. A couple of months after that, that's when we had this distribution deal that happened with Midtown and DCBS. So it's like all of this crap happened within that span of time since AT&T bought Warner Brothers.
And don't forget, we had a streaming service, DC Universe, that now has been absorbed into HBO Max.
Right, right.
You know, when there were some shows that were heavily favored or really loved and just dropped. Swamp Thing is the one that clicks in my mind. I know many people that really thought that was a great show. It got one season, was gone. Now the whole network is being folded into this new idea or this new programming.
Well, from what I understand about Swamp Thing, that happened because some money from where the show was being filmed didn't come through. I don't know if it was like tax breaks or what, but apparently there was some money involved in there coming from the state where that didn't come through. And so they didn't have any money to make the show, basically. That's my understanding of the situation. The new president at Warner Brothers did an interview recently where one of the things that really stood out was direct to consumer.
Yes.
Now, Jim Lee did an interview a few days after that, really pushing digital. And while all this is going on, DC's canceled a bunch of lower tier titles. Mm-hmm. Teen Titans, Young Justice, John Constantine Hellblazer. There were a few others I can't think of what all was canceled. So, you know, they're cutting back the line. And I mean, it's just kind of a scary thing with DC right now, because and then also the announcement that came out earlier this week about Batman Day. Batman Day was a big annual thing for DC. I mean, they would send the shops a giveaway comic for us to give away to customers. And, you know, we could plan events around this and whatnot. The announcement that they had this week mentioned nothing about comic shops for Batman Day.
So who is going to plan events for Batman Day, if I may ask, Jeff?
It seems like they're kind of branching out into the mass market with this, and just leaving comic shops behind on this.
So you mean like Target? I think like stores like that.
I don't know about Target, if it's going to be Target or like Barnes and Noble or what. But I mean, it's just they've apparently have events planned for, you know, to reach more out into the mass market. But the last time we talked, I postulated the theory that, okay, new distributors coming into this is going to be good. We'll have healthy distribution again, or healthy competition amongst distributors again. And I was wrong about that. So here's another thing that I could very well be wrong about. AT&T is not interested in publishing comics. And just everything that's being said about, you know, the push for digital, from, you know, Jim Lee saying, you know, talking about the push for digital, he's really a strong advocate for digital. And then new president of Warner Brothers talking about direct to consumer.
Can I interrupt for a minute? Is that Daniel Cherry? Is that the new head?
Tom Warner, Daniel Cherry?
Or is he in charge of DC?
He might be in charge of DC.
DC, okay.
Jason Kilar is the new head of Warner Media.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, that name rings a bell.
Yeah. He's the one who, the one thing he said that stood out was direct to consumer in his interview. And then, Jim Lee really wanting to push digital. And I mean, and again, this is my own crazy conspiracy theory about it. It's it's entirely possible that, with AT&T seemingly uninterested in a publishing venture, just might shutter the doors on DC Comics. They probably won't sell the company because they have the IPs. Comic books, when it comes to a big company like that, the revenue from comics is just a tiny drop in the bucket. Mm-hmm. They're going to make more money off of merchandising, the action figures, the clothing, the media tie-ins, all of that. That makes more money for them than what the comics are going to make. So I can really see now, granted, the DC characters, as far as the movies, it's been kind of hit or miss with the movies as compared to the Marvel characters, but still, they made some bank.
Yeah.
I really think that they would want to hang on to those IPs and really not care about whether or not they publish comics.
Well, one thing you mentioned the action figures and the other, I guess you could say, collectibles. Mm-hmm. DC Direct is gone.
Right.
So how has that impacted comic book shops, and how has that impacted World's Greatest?
The impact is remaining to be seen. Remains to be seen. Now, they did last month or so, actually, when it was still with Diamond, and then through UCS, they were soliciting for some figures yet to come out. I haven't heard anything about whether or not those would be canceled, but DC Collectibles just went directly, primarily to comic shops. Mm-hmm. And it was going into places like Toys R Us. Well, Toys R Us shuttered 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what kind of outlets they have for DC Collectibles. McFarlane has the market for mass market for action figures, but it doesn't seem like people are reacting very well to those because the scale is a little bit bigger than the Marvel Legends mm-hmm. figures. Mm-hmm. True fanboys, it seems like they want their action figures to be in scale with one another. So it's, I think it's not really a good thing to have a Superman figure that towers a little bit over a Hulk figure.
Right. Yeah. So it seems that we've talked a lot about DC.
Yeah,
Because let's be honest, they're a dumpster fire right now. So,
I think that's putting it mildly.
So, let's talk a little bit about the other half of the big two, Marvel.
Okay.
It seemed that Marvel did all the right things, or at least it seems to be that way, when it came to the shutdown and the pandemic and whatnot. So. How has Marvel managed to survive in the pandemic as opposed to, DC here? How are they doing, I guess you could say?
I think probably just by standing back and letting DC do what they did.
Okay.
Because retailers, when DC said, we're going to put product out to you during a pandemic, retailers, a lot of them said, no, we can't do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can't sell product. So I think now the Marvel and DC both were calling all the shops around, asking about, what kind of capabilities we had and all this, as far as, are you open? Can you sell product right now? And, what kind of services are you providing? All of this. But I think Marvel just by standing back and letting DC do what they did, they're the ones that came out looking like the good guy in this. And trust me, retailers had a lot of problems with what seemed to be predatory publishing practices by Marvel with, you know, these variants. They used to do the, and it doesn't seem like they're really doing it so much anymore, these meet or exceed variants where you have to order a percentage, the order of your regular cover of has to be a percentage of a past issue in order to unlock ordering for a variant cover. Unlimited. Yeah. Okay. A perfect example of this is for the 2000, this is the best one I can think of, the 2015 Star Wars series when Marvel got the license back to do Star Wars. Now, they did have a meet or exceed variant on that where, and they took the Thor series that was being published at the time. I think it was Thor number 6. Your order for the regular cover of Star Wars number 1 had to meet or exceed, I think it was 100%. I'd have to go back and check on this, but I can't really remember the exact percentage, but meet or exceed this percentage of your order for Thor number 6 in order to unlock unlimited unlimited ordering on this variant.
Wow, that seems very shady.
That's what they did. That's what they did, and a lot of retailers were constantly complaining about it. Now, finally, they started to ease up on that, and then Marvel eventually said, okay, we'll only do it once in a while, but we're going to make all of our variants like that open order. They still have the ratio variants like the 1 in 10, 1 in 25, 1 in 50, whatever. Using Thor again as an example, I think it's Thor number 7 coming up. They have an open order variant for Thor number 7 by an artist named Nick Klein. Unlimited ordering. No stipulation to order that cover.
Okay.
So you don't really see the meet exceed thing hardly at all anymore, which is a good thing. My Star Wars customers, a lot of them wanted the action figure variants that happened during the previous run of Star Wars. And it got to the point where it was like, meet or exceed 100% of your order of a previous issue of Star Wars to get the action figure variant. And it got to the point where I couldn't afford to order the action figure variant anymore because the hype had died down. I had copies sitting on the shelf. I had to make cuts. And so I cut my numbers on Star Wars. I couldn't meet that number anymore. So I couldn't get that action figure variant for each issue.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about a couple other gimmicks real quick that unfortunately, you know, has happened both at DC and Marvel. So, you know, we've talked quite a bit about the idea of variant covers, renumbering and starting over with new number ones is a big shtick. What do you think about these gimmicks? Do you think they actually bring value to you as a retailer or to fans by doing these silly stunts or gimmicks?
No.
What's your thoughts?
No. The publishing model anymore is, it seems like when a new creative team comes on, well, that's the signal right there to start it up as a new series. Now, DC hasn't really been guilty of it so much as what Marvel has.
Yeah.
It frustrates retailers. And it is actually frustrates the readers to no end that okay, we're starting with a new number one. Why? Well, the mentality is, well, it's a new number one. It'll sell. Yeah. But, okay. I sold well over 100 copies. I think maybe around 150 copies of the 2015 relaunch of Amazing Spider-Man, but that's because it was coming out of Superior Spider-Man, where in the previous run of Amazing Spider-Man, Peter Parker had died and Dr. Octopus's mind had inhabited his body. So essentially Dr. Octopus was Spider-Man for a couple of years. This was coming out of the wrap-up of that storyline. So Peter Parker was back. So I sold about 150 copies of that. A couple of years later, a new Amazing Spider-Man number one. Didn't sell as much. People didn't seem to be as interested in it. So, you know, people want a good story. They don't care give them a good jumping on point, but you don't have to make it a number one. And it's very frustrating as a retailer. Someone comes in asking for Iron Man number 10. Okay, which series? I don't know. I just want Iron Man number 10.
Well, that question comes out of when I stopped by the shop and you were entering in pulls for people. Yeah. And you were talking about it. It's massively complicated because of the constant renumbering, where you have to know a little more than just, I want Deadpool number one, or I want Doctor Strange 37. Because you're like, well, which
series?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just need this one. It baffles me that those companies don't seem to understand that it's difficult for people to keep up with this.
Oh, that's my biggest gripe.
It's difficult for some people to keep up with the constant relaunches. And
I mean, my pet peeve real quick, I'll just throw it out there, is I hate you have one title and then we have to have six different splinter versions of it.
Talking about the variant covers.
No, I'm talking about like total different books that are somewhat intertwined. For an example, G.I. Joe. I'm a huge G.I. Joe fan, but IDW at one time had 12 different series of G.I. Joe.
Right.
And I'm like, that's a little too much for me to collect. I just want the old school, but, you know, and I mean, Deadpool's another prime example. They had all kinds of Deadpool spinoffs and maybe a little too much.
I think only a lot of that really centers around what's going on with movies at the time.
Sure.
Because, the first Avengers movie hit, monster at the box office. So then you had, you had relaunches of new Avengers. Then you had a Secret Avengers title. Then you had an Avengers Assemble title. All of these different Avengers titles going on. Just to, you know, trying to capitalize on the success of that movie. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Now, it didn't really happen with Black Panther so much, but it did happen where, they put him in a couple of other books, and they also had, one actually just wrapped up, Black Panther and the Agents of Wakanda.
In your opinion, how do you fix the comic book industry? How do you clean up all the mess? Come on, Jeff, give us some ideas. How would you do it? If you could rule the comic book world, what would you do to smooth up some of these rough edges and whatnot?
Well, first of all, I would get rid of variant covers.
Okay.
Because that's a frustrating thing too, because, there's a new Eternals, ongoing. I hesitate to use the word ongoing because at best anymore, a comic book series is finite.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's a new Eternals series launching in November. And there are well over 15 different open order covers for this book.
Oh, wow.
I think that's what it is. But there's a lot of covers for this book. Why do you need all of these covers?
Yeah, because that's just creating overhead for the company, because you got to pay the cover artists.
Yeah. Just give us a book. Just give us one book. Now they'll do that for those lower tier selling titles where you're not really going to have a variant for every issue. You might have a variant once in a while, but there are some books where there's a variant for every single issue. Amazing Spider-Man, there is a variant for every single issue, open order variant. Sometimes there's two and three variants. Mm-hmm. Like, recently Marvel took a stab at DC and had the On Sale Wednesday variants, where it was just a plain cover, but had in big letters, On Sale Wednesday, because DC wanted, that was another reason why DC left Diamond, was because apparently the edict was handed down somewhere that Well, we want the stuff on sale on Tuesday to be in line with the book market. Diamond says, well, unless everyone else in the industry, retailers and publishers alike, want to have New Comic Book Day to be on Tuesday, we're not going to do that. And so I think that was another reason why DC bailed on Diamond. Well, how else would I fix the comics industry?
I stumped you on this one.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I mean, look, you know what? I think, to be fair, there's some great things going on in the comic book industry.
There are.
We're focusing on a few major mess ups and blunders from the last few months, but there's a lot of great stuff going on there. Lots of great books, lots of great creators out there producing some great stuff. So I don't want listeners at home to think, God, John, you're just burying everybody. And we're not. I mean, there are flaws. There are flaws.
There are flaws. And we're talking about the flaws, but at the same time, there are some good things out there. Especially coming from some of the other companies, Boom Studios, Image,
Dynamite,
Aftershock Comics.
Yeah, Aftershock.
Who else? There's another new startup company. Still waiting for them to start up. It just they got kind of sidelined by the whole pandemic situation, kind of derailed their launch. Company called Bad Idea. We're one of the two Ohio stores who are supposed to be in on the initial launch whenever that happens. So, there's a lot of great stuff coming out of the non-big two companies. Mm-hmm. There's one from Image right now. Doesn't really seem to be getting a lot of recognition, called Stealth, which involves a reporter who finds out his father is a superhero, but his father also has Alzheimer's.
Wow. So,
it's a pretty interesting concept. And then there's another one. There's one coming up from Image called Crossover. That was, it's coming up next month, written by Cullen Bunn. Mm-hmm. It's about a comic book crossover that is so massive, so impactful, that it bleeds over into the real world. It's having effect, it's having an effect. The crossover crosses over into the real world. there's another one from Image called The Clock. It had two issues come out before the shutdown, so we're still waiting for that to start back up. That is about someone who discovers it's a cancer epidemic going on. People are actually catching this cancer. It's a contagious form of cancer. You find out that it's a weaponized version of cancer, a weaponized form of cancer.
Okay.
So, it's really, a lot of... a lot of intrigue going on with that one.
But any last ideas on how you would fix the comic book industry besides just getting rid of variants?
The companies need to listen to the fans and listen to the retailers, especially the big two, especially DC Comics. Now, that being said, I really don't envy the people who work for DC their current positions that they are finding themselves in, because, again, it's all rolling downhill. It's coming from the top at AT&T, and I really think that they are working under all of this that's coming down from the top. I really think it's coming from AT&T and Warner Brothers. It's not DC Comics. There are a lot of good people still at DC. I will say that. And I really think that this is coming from further on up top.
Well, one final thing, and then we'll get to talking about where the store is and what you guys have in stock and everything. You, as well as yours truly, and a couple of other independent creators are in this month's issue of 614 Magazine. So
that's right.
What'd you think about you showing up in the pages of 614 Magazine?
It doesn't look like me. Because they did the photo. Yeah, they did the photographs as comic book style cartoon pictures, and I don't think it looks like me. It was a good article. I thought it was a good article.
Yes, very well done. Very well done. Yeah. And people at 614 Magazine, thanks very much for including us. It was an awesome experience. But Jeff, tell folks all about the store, where you're located at, what do you have in stock, hours of operation, website, all that jazz.
Okay, well, our address is 5974 Westerville Road. We're in the Glengarry Shopping Center, which is about a half mile south of the exit off of Route 270. And right now we don't have a sign out. Where they're doing a refacing project on the store. They're finally getting to us, so we don't really have a proper sign out, but we are in between Cushions Billiards and the Barberology School of Barbering Arts. Our hours are Monday through Saturday from noon to 7. We are currently closed on Sunday because that's a day we take to do deep cleaning because of all the COVID crap going on right now.
You know what? I never thought about that. I never thought you guys would have to do that. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was something recommended to all businesses by the state is, shut down for a day to do a deep cleaning, and that's what we do. Okay. Hopefully in sometime in the near future, we'll be able to restore Sunday hours. But right now it's just Monday through Saturday, noon to 7. We have all kinds of comics from some Golden Age, primarily Silver Age, on up to the New Week's releases. We've got over 40,000 back issues for sale, a stock of over 40,000 back issues, probably the largest in the area. We've also got action figures, statues, but comics are our thing. That's what we do.
All right. How about the website and the Facebook page?
Website is wgcomics.com. And Facebook page, just look up World's Greatest Comics on Facebook, and you'll find us there.
Cool. Are you still doing your Tuesday auctions, or have you kind of put that on hold for right now?
Kind of put that on hold. It didn't seem like the participation has been there so much since everything started reopening. I think really it was just a form of entertainment during the shutdown for a lot of people. We do have the World's Greatest Comics Facebook auction group. We'll probably do something with that sometime soon. I don't really know when, but when we do, we'll put an announcement on the Facebook page, the main Facebook page.
There you go. Jeff, thank you very much for coming on. Appreciate it.
Thank you, John. Good to be here.
All right. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Jeff Patrick and I giving you the rundown of all the things that have been happening in the comic book industry over the last few months. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. And again, if you're in the Central Ohio area, I would ask that you please give your patronage, if you can, to World's Greatest Comics. They're over there on Westerville Road, 5974 to be exact. Or you can also find them online, wgcomics.com, or find them on Facebook at WG Comics as well. It's time for me to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you would like to do so. You can shoot me an email. johnorlando@pvdcast.com is my email address. You can find me on Twitter. My personal handle is @pvdmvp. You can even leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram pages of this podcast. Just search for @pvdcast. And I need to let you know where you can get your hands or ears on this podcast. It's available through the online home of yours truly, pvdcast.com. But it's also available through all those major podcasting platforms like Stitcher Radio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio app, Deezer. Just basically go to your favorite podcast platform, type in PVDcast or sometimes PVDcast John Orlando into the search bar, and you're sure to find it. And when you listen, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. Subscribing makes sure you never miss an episode. And you know what? The fourth thing you could do is tell lots of folks about it. You know what? There's no better advertising than word of mouth, as the old saying goes. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. The following has been a production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2021.